In August of 2000, the largest submarine in the Russian fleet suffered an internal explosion and sank in the Sea of Baretsk. And when they sent the divers down to look to see if anyone had survived, as they were swimming around the submarine, they heard some pinging. And upon closer observation, some of the men had survived and were in one end of the sub where there was still some air. And the pinging was a type of Morse code. And the message that they were sending over and over and over again was, is there any hope? Is there any hope? A question that is asked by many people today. Day after day, week after week, month after month, there are so many people who feel like that they are trapped in hopeless situations. There are so many people living in our world today that simply have gone so long in the situation that they're in, thinking that there is no hope, that throws them into a despair. Even though they have good days, they know they don't last. And so they feel like they're on board a ship called hopelessness, sailing on a sea of despair. Someone has said that hopelessness is the most difficult and dangerous disease that a person can have. And I think I agree. In Luke chapter 24, there are some men that are walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's about 7 miles. And they are quite despondent. They're talking, and there's another who joins them and ask them what they're talking about. And one of them, called him Cleopas, says, are you not from around here? You must be a stranger. You don't know what's been happening in Jerusalem? And Jesus, whom they haven't recognized, says to him, what is that? What's been happening? And Cleopas says, well, Jesus was a prophet. He says, and Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet who was powerful in word and deed. And now our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Watch this now. We had hoped. We had hoped that he would be the one who redeemed Israel. They had lost their hope. When they saw Jesus down the cross, they lost their hope. Of course, they didn't understand that that was the beginning of hope. But nevertheless, on this occasion, these men said we had hoped. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Well, there are a lot of people with sick hearts in our world today, because there are a lot of people who have lost hope. Perhaps some people have financial hopelessness. They think that we will never pay all of these bills. Doesn't seem like we ever can get ahead. Just when it seems like that we're just about to get a handle on things, something else happens. It's just round and round and round, and they feel like they're caught in a financial hopelessness. There are others that feel like that they are in a relationship hopelessness, that they are in a relationship that's very unhappy, that's loveless, and they just don't see any way out of it. There are others who are in career hopelessness. Same old day-to-day job that they absolutely despise. But because of the conditions of our world today and our economy, they can't afford to give up this job, even though it just continues to bury them deeper and deeper into hopelessness. Many of these people feel like they're swabbing the deck of the Titanic while it's sinking. And it's just going down and down and down. Their hearts are sick. If you are one of those people this morning, I'm here to tell you, there is hope. There is hope. I look out in this audience this morning and I see people who have smiles on their faces, who have a zip in their step, and who enjoy life. And I know that these people have problems. Some of them financial problems. Some of you relationship problems. Some of you medical problems. But you still have a hope. And that's what Jesus is here to offer us. Jesus is the giver of hope. And hope is so important in our lives. For one thing, hope brings us optimism. Have you ever heard the story about the flying horse? Back in the medieval times, a king had condemned a servant to die. He told him when the morning light came that he would be hanged. So the man said to him as he pleaded for mercy, "O king, what if I could make your horse fly? If you would give me 1 year, I will make your horse fly." To which the king became interested. The man continued, "Don't you just see it? The only king in all the world to have a flying horse. All the other kings would envy and be jealous of you." And so the king said, "All right, 1 year, 1 year from today. But if my horse doesn't fly in 1 year from today, I will carry out this sentence." Released the man. His friends came to him. He said, "What in the world were you thinking? You can't make a horse fly any more than you could make yourself fly. Why in the world would you tell the king something like that? To which the man said, well, in a year the king might die. In a year I might die of natural causes. In a year the horse might die. And who knows, in a year I might be able to teach him to fly. It gives us optimism. When you have hope, even if it's just a tiny bit of hope, it can carry you through. It can also give us persistence. I think about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. He had to deal with a very wicked king, Ahab. And so Elijah prayed to the Lord that it wouldn't rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the kingdom at all. And finally, in chapter 18, Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel. And he begins to pray to God to make it rain again. And so as he's praying, he sends his servant to look and see if there's any rain clouds. The servant comes back and says, no, there is not. Elijah continues to pray, and he sends his servant 7 times. 7 times he sent the servant. On the 7th time, the servant came back and said, there is a small cloud rising up out of the sea about the size of a man's hand. To which Elijah got up and said, let's go tell the king it's going to rain. Let's get off of this mountain because the rain's coming. And it did. Elijah kept praying because he had a hope. Even though it was just a little cloud, he had hope. Hope gives us an attractiveness. I don't mean a physical attractiveness. I'm talking about an attractive attitude. When someone is smiling, when someone has an expectation of tomorrow, people like to be around that kind of people. You like to be around somebody that is hopeful, that has energy and has a happiness about them. You know, children are so perceptive about this. Kids don't usually want to be around somebody that's gloomy, that's down all the time, that's dragging around. We don't like to be around that kind of person either. But hope, being hope-filled person, makes us attractive. So I'm asking you, what should you rather be this morning? A hope-filled person or a hopeless person? Now, I know that that's an unfair question because all of us want to have hope. I know that. So I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the giver of hope. I think about in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is walking along the sea and he sees two brothers that are fishing, Peter and Andrew. And he calls out to them and he says, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it says they left their nets and their boats and they went and followed Jesus. And he walks on down the shore a little way, and he comes to two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, working for their father, fishing as well. And Jesus gives them the same invitation, come and follow me. And he says they leave everything, their business, their families, they leave it all and go and follow Jesus. Now, I've often wondered what it was about Jesus that made these men leave everything to go and follow him. And I think it was a matter of faith. Certainly it was. No question it was. But I don't know that their faith was that strong at that point. In fact, I know they asked the Lord later, Lord, increase our faith. Maybe it was a matter of love. I know it was. They had to have loved Jesus or they wouldn't have left everything that they loved to follow him. And yet, I think that love had to grow. I remember Jesus asking Peter on one occasion, Peter, do you love me? In fact, he asked him three times, do you love me? I think it was because Jesus gave them hope. I think it was because he was offering them a future, a better future, a better life, something that was intangible, something that they didn't have there, what they were doing. But they had hope of receiving when they followed Jesus. I think about Matthew chapter 5 and the great Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was preaching there to this large crowd, and he begins with these Beatitudes. And he talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, the meek, those who are thirst after hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. But it wasn't these words that the people were drawn to, because they had been hungry. They had been persecuted. I think it was whenever Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom. Be comforted. Inherit the earth. Be filled. Be given mercy. See God. Become the children of God. That's whenever their ears perked up, because they were looking for something to give them hope. That's the reason why that at the end of chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it said that they marveled. They marveled because Jesus spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. They marveled because Jesus spoke as one who gave them hope. How badly this world needs hope. Now think about Matthew chapter 8, the man with leprosy. Here's where Jesus encounters this man with leprosy. And if ever, if ever there were a hopeless situation, a hopeless illness in this day and time, it was leprosy. Because it was no cure. an absolute death sentence. Your skin literally rotted away. Your fingers would just rot off your feet. And you had to be put away from family or anyone that loved you because it was so contagious. And yet, when Jesus came along, this man heard that he was close. He comes running to Jesus. And he says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus does something that no one else had dared to do. It said he reached out and touched him. And he said, "I'm willing. Be clean." And the man's leprosy was healed. Jesus is the giver of hope. Jesus is the giver of hope. Throughout the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry here on the earth, time and time again, Jesus is the giver of hope. Now I want the members of Johnson to listen to me closely right now. I want this church to be a great church. I want us to be faithful. I want us to follow God's truths and not be taken away and carried away by some of the whims and that are going on in the religious world today, even in our brotherhood. I want us to be a faithful church. I want us to be a loving church, and I believe that we are. I want us to be known as the church where the members love one another. After all, wasn't that what Jesus said? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love one for another." I want us to be a friendly church. When visitors come, that we welcome them and that they feel welcome and they feel at home and they feel like that they want to come back and can come back anytime. I want us to be that kind of church. But more than anything else, I want us to be a church of hope. A church that gives hope. A church that dreams, dares to dream. That has a heart to and a mind to look forward and to go upward. I want us to be the kind of church that when a person comes here and sees that we are a church of hope, that wants to place membership here and be a part of this family, because they want to be a part of a family of Christians that are going home to be with God. There are so many people right here in our communities that are just hopeless. I do not feel like anybody cares about them. I feel like that they're just treading water, buying time, and even praying for death. We need to be a church that opens our doors
and our hearts to those who are hopeless. Jesus is the giver of hope. The sage of old, Isaiah, in chapter 40, verses 29 through 31, says, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isn't that exciting? If you've not made your commitment to Jesus, the giver of hope, I plead with you to do that today. Let your faith lead you to repent of your sins and confess that He is the Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. My brother or sister, if for some reason you've taken your eyes off of the Master, looking at this world, it cannot give you the hope and the strength that you need. This world is not the giver of hope, but Jesus is. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? And as the road you travel, sorrow and despair. Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in His love abide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember
so much for being here today. We appreciate the presence of everyone, but we certainly, as Brother Joe said this morning to begin with, we surely appreciate those of you that are visiting with us. Please come back and see us as often as you can. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning before we're dismissed? If not, then sing one more song here with we'll appreciate this singing this morning. Thank you so much. Your songs. I knew
what the sermon was, but as you were singing, every song seemed to have a point of the sermon in it, or if not most of the sermon, and I sure did appreciate that, Wolf. Thank you so much. Wolf has one more song and then a closing prayer.
Number 870, before our closing prayer. Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss, land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond where is no nigh, summer land. Summer land of bliss, beyond this land of toiling, sowing and reaping, far beyond the shadows darkening this, and far beyond the sighing, moaning and weeping, lies the summer land of bliss, land beyond so fair and bright. Land beyond where is no night, summer land, God is His light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of waiting, seeking and sighing, far beyond the sorrows darkening this, and far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies the summer land of bliss, land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond where is no night, summer land, God is His light, oh, happy summer land of please. Father God, again we come to you this morning and just thanking you for the opportunity to be here as brothers and sisters, to praise you, God, and to encourage one another by our presence here, God. And God, we thank you for your Son Jesus and what He means to us, and for His sacrifice that gives us hope, gives us hope of eternal life. God, we pray that we don't take this for granted, that we can be a people that that lives for You, that is deliberate in our actions every day. And God, we pray for those that aren't here this morning, that are outspreading Your word in a different country. God, we pray for their safety and for their success in their missions. We pray that You would bring them back to us again, just safely, and that the people there will be receptive of the things that they're trying to teach. God, we thank You for Your Son and His willingness and Your willingness to give Him for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.